Ezekiel chapter 37 is where we'll be, and what that video is reflecting. And thank you, worship team, for that song leading us into Ezekiel chapter 37. It may not be a book that you go to quite often when you're looking for encouragement and direction and hope and all that good stuff. But if you go to Psalms and start flipping toward the New Testament a little bit, you'll get into those major prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, and you'll find Ezekiel in there as well. So Ezekiel chapter 37 is where we'll be. So I want to encourage you to follow along. If you use the Bible app, you can pull up the Bible app and hit on the menu button and go to events, and you'll find the Grove Church in there underneath events, and you can follow along with all the sermon notes and everything that's there. So Halloween is coming up this Wednesday. I don't know how you feel about Halloween. There's a lot of different perspectives Christians have on Halloween. I'm not going to get into that this morning. I put a little blog post out if you want to read some thoughts on kind of how I think you should view Halloween. You can check that out. Just whatever, if you're bored, really bored, need something to read, you can check that out. Every time this day rolls around, I always have flashbacks to growing up. As a kid, when I was in elementary school, the school that I went to, they used to do a Halloween costume contest. And so everybody in elementary school, they would wear their costumes to school. And I remember starting out like kindergarten, like I don't remember what I was, but I just remember thinking I had the greatest costume and I was going to win. And so I show up, we all parade through into the gym and everybody's watching, and I didn't win. I didn't even place in the top five. So I was like, next year, going to do better. And so first grade comes around, they parade everybody through. I didn't put in the top five, not again. So I was like, all right, second grade, I'm going to get innovative. I'm going to get creative. Like, I'm going to have the best costume ever. And then, like, it rolled around time. Like, Halloween was coming, and I just kind of forgot to work on my costume. So I ended up with just, something from Walmart that you could go buy. And I walk in. But I was like, this is the greatest costume ever. Even if I got it, bought it at Walmart. Like, it's great. It's awesome. This is going to be best. I go through the line. I don't even place in the top five again. And so, like, I'm getting really frustrated. And, like, so here we go, third grade. And I'm like, all right, this is it. I'm going to have the greatest costume. I think I decided to be a doctor. And I don't know why, but, like, I had on, like, some doctor stuff. And I just thought I was going to be, like, Doogie Howser or somebody, remember him back in the day. And so I was like, this is it. This is original this year. Like, I didn't buy it. I kind of came up with it at the last minute. Like, I'm going to win. I'm going to rock it out. Go through the line. Don't even place in top five again. So I was like, I'm done. I hate Halloween. So I was just, I said, I'm done. I quit dressing up. I didn't even go get candy that year. I was fed up with it. I'm still a little hurt, if you can't tell. So it's like every time it rolls around, I'm like, nope, just bad memories of how I never could win the costume contest. So I just gave up. I gave up on dressing up. And so all that to say, it doesn't really matter what you do on Halloween, I guess. But I guess the moral of the story in that is, we go through things in life where we see something that could be different, right? We see a change that we can maybe make that would alter the direction that we're headed in. More specifically, maybe in our walk with Jesus, we know that there's something there, whether it's a sin that we need to let go of and let that sin die so that he can bring life, or it's a next step that he's calling us to take, or it's faith and trust that we need to ask him for as we're going through what we're going through. We have these seasons where we can kind of see, like, I need to do this, and if this could happen, or I could trust God in this way, like, then this would move me forward. And so we have good intentions, right? But a lot of times, because things kind of die at the altar of good intentions, we find ourselves just giving up. Nothing changes. We keep doing the same thing over and over, hoping that something different may happen. And I just believe that all too often, the sad reality is that there's too many breakthroughs, too many things that I think God really wants to do in your life and in my life and even within our church. There's things that he wants to teach us about himself. There's steps that he wants us to take of faith where we get to experience him in a whole new way. There are breakthroughs. There's too many breakthroughs, I'm afraid, that get left at the altar of good intentions. And I think that happens because sometimes we just kind of get into like zombie mode, right? And we're just kind of walking around haphazardly and not even really knowing what it is that we're doing. We're just so caught up maybe in routine, or we're so blinded by the circumstances that we're in. And we never stop to step back and ask those questions of what would it really look like for me to trust God right here? What would it look like for me to really believe in who Jesus says that I am in relationship with him. And so we see ourselves just giving up. And I just want to say to you this morning, I don't know exactly what it is that you're going through. I don't know what it is that you're wrestling through. I don't know maybe what you've walked in here just already assuming it's dead, it's done, it's hopeless, God doesn't care, all these things. And so your attitude has been, oh, I'm just giving up. My challenge for you this morning, in the midst of us, as we kind of wrap up this series we've been talking about, how to get through what you're going through, my challenge for you this morning is don't give up, but look up and come alive in the name of Jesus and who he is. And we all have the opportunity to choose how we're going to respond in the midst of whatever it is that we're going through. You could give up. You could just have good intentions and never get around to doing anything. And in a sense, that's giving up. But we feel a little better about it because we have good ideas, we have good intentions, but if we don't ever follow through, then we're essentially giving up. So I'd say to you this morning, as encouragement, but also as challenge, don't give up, but just start looking up and come alive in who Jesus has called you to be. And we say look up as in that's part of our vision, is that we think there's three relationships that Jesus wants you to walk in. And the primary one is that upward relationship. It's that upward dynamic that gives off the idea of I'm looking up to someone greater than me, depending on God to intervene in my life because I know that I need him and I know that he wants that for me, to trust him in that way. He's the one that is everything that I'm not. He completes me in the way that no one else will ever complete me. So I'll look up to him for direction. And so this morning, as we jump into this text, I don't know what it is that maybe you, and maybe it's not you, but maybe it's somebody else. All right. Maybe it's the person you're sitting beside. Maybe it's somebody that you'll be working beside or going to school beside tomorrow. My prayer is that God would just give you the words this morning to be able to breathe life into them and encourage them to not give up, but to look up. The most powerful way you're going to be able to call them to do that, though, is through your own story. It's through your own journey. When you reached a point where you decided, hey, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to look up instead. And God shows up and comes alive inside of you. So that's the invitation this morning as we kind of step into this. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're going to begin to kind of break down, I think, how God, when we look up to him, how he kind of comes alive inside of us. Now, let me back up, give you a little context about what we're going to read, because this is a weird passage. As if the video wasn't weird enough, I know, it kind of set up like the passage in the text for where we're going, because it visually illustrates the passage that we're about to read. So Ezekiel chapter 36, God kind of gives this promise to the people of Israel. So we've been looking at different snapshots of their journey in the Old Testament as we've been going through this series. We know the Old Testament is kind of the story of God and his people that he's called out to follow him. And ultimately, I think a lot of it foreshadows us and who we become as the church. But there's the very real part of it that it is a very real people, the people of Israel, Hebrews, Jews, whatever you want to call them, who God has been navigating through this story. And the Old Testament chronicles a lot of their journey. And so as we see how God interacts with them, we learn a lot about who God is and how he can interact with us. Not so much that he's going to replicate the miracles, but that we come to understand his character and who he is and the way that he relates to his people. So Israel has been taken into captivity, and they've been in captivity for a while, and they're pretty much, they've given up hope. They've just thrown in the towel. They're just kind of become complacent. They've lost all hope. There's not really any direction, any sense of just encouragement that's coming to them. And in Ezekiel 36, God kind of renews this promise and says, look, it's not over. Maybe some of you this morning, you need to back up and read Ezekiel 36. And you just need to hear, hey, it's not over. Don't give up. It's kind of God's message in Ezekiel 36. But we're going to look at Ezekiel 37 because it's in this passage where he kind of begins to illustrate what the coming alive piece looks like. And so he used some weird graphic imagery, and he kind of gives Ezekiel this vision. But there's a lot that we can actually learn as we unpack this passage. So we're going to start out Ezekiel chapter 37, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 to begin with. So starting in verse 1, it says this. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. I'm going to pause right there. Don't give up. Just look up and come alive. Well, how is that going to happen? Well, I think one of the first things we see right here is exactly what happens with Ezekiel. And it's that you and I, we have to see what's happening around us. We need to be able to see what's actually happening around us. And I know some of you, because I've overheard you talking, and I just like to listen sometimes, talking about like scary movies. How many of you are scary movie people? Anybody? If you, it's okay. Like, God's not going to come down and get you. It's okay. Scary movie people in the room. Okay, a few of you. I do not watch scary movies because then I don't sleep well, and it freaks me out. I used to watch them. I remember back when I did watch them. You could always tell, like, if this is going to be a really good scary movie or a cheesy scary movie pretty early on. Like, when the girl comes running out of the house, and she trips over 15 times, and she's running, like, 1 mile per hour, and it's like she keeps falling over her face, and then where does she run? To the woods. It's like always into the woods or down the dark road. And it's like, you're just asking for it. And here comes dude with a chainsaw, right? And it's like, no matter how fast she's running, he's somehow walking faster than she's running. Like, I don't understand. But it's like, you can just completely see what's about to happen, right? But when I quit watching scary movies is when I couldn't figure out what was about to happen, and it would really scare me. So I was like, done. Don't want any more of it, because you couldn't see what's happening. And I think there, you know, it's to think about this in our lives. Sometimes we don't want to see what's happening. And I think in some ways God protects us from being able to see what's happened, because from us being able to see what was going to happen. Because if we saw everything, and I've said this before, sometimes we say, God, will you just show me? Show me what the next 5 years is going to look like. And he's like, no, you would never leave your house. Like, if you knew what was going to happen over the next 5 years, it would scare us to death. So he holds it back and he says, no, I want you to trust me. I want you to have faith. But sometimes I think we reach these points where God wants us to see what's going on. He wants us to see what's happening. He wants us to see the conditions of our lives. He wants us to see the conditions of our heart. He wants us to see the things that we're chasing after more than him. He wants us to see how we're neglecting responsibilities in our relationships that we ought to be prioritizing. He wants us to see some of the brokenness that's there. He wants us to see sometimes the mess that we're living in. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think that's a bad thing. Actually, I think many times that's what's missing in our lives today, is the ability to hit pause and let the Spirit of God begin to show us the way that we're living. And there may be some good in that, but there's probably, if you're anything like me, there's some things in that that probably need to change as well. Problem is, we get so caught up in doing what we're doing, got to get to this thing, got to get to that thing, and just keeping pace with culture, that we don't ever hear the Spirit of God speak into us and really show us the way that we're living. And so God, through this vision, takes Ezekiel out and he says, I want you to see what's really happening. I want you to see what's going on. And they begin to kind of have this conversation about what they see. And the first thing that Ezekiel gets revealed to him is this valley of dry bones. And the text actually says very dry bones, to emphasize the fact that these bones were so dry, they were so dead, that there was absolutely no way any human could intervene and bring these bones back to life. The only hope for these bones was a supernatural intervention. And for you and I, sometimes I truly believe we reach these places and these points in our life that if we would let God show us, if we would let God help us see what's happening around us, we would realize that there is absolutely nothing you and I could do to resurrect our situations, but there is something that he can do. And it's probably him alone to resurrect those things in our life that we just look at and we've given up on, and we said, this is dead, this is done, there's no hope. This relationship won't be restored. Which then he takes him and he shows him and he begins to see what's there, and he sees dry bones. And so for you, I don't know, what are your bones this morning? That if God took you out and began to show you your valley of dryness, your bones, what would that be? Is it a marriage that you've given up on? Is it a relationship with someone that you know needs to be mended, needs to be fixed? Is it maybe a sin that's there that's just robbing your joy? You can't seem to shake it. I don't know what your bones are this morning, but I do know the God that is more than capable of coming alongside you and saying, don't give up, but just look up to me and watch me help you come back alive. And so he shows him these bones and he gets a snapshot of what's going on around, but then he asks him a question. And his question is, do you think these bones can come alive? Like, what's going to happen here? Do you think these bones can come back alive? And that's the question God would ask you this morning as you wrestle through what it is that you're going through. Do you believe in God that he can do what only he can do? Do you really believe that? Are you convinced of that? Because I think sometimes God lets us find ourselves right in the middle of a valley of dry bones so that he can show up and do what only he can do. So his invitation is, I want you to see what's happening. And as we begin to see it, then we can start to acknowledge the fact that I can't do this on my own. I can't fix this on my own. There's not enough strength within me to do this. And I know that's kind of a scary place to get to, but I want to tell you that's actually the best place you can get to. When you reach that point and you start to look up to him. And in those moments of humbling yourself and coming before him, he just begins to start to speak life into you. And he starts to do things inside of you that you just can't manufacture on your own. And he begins to show Ezekiel this. And he shows us in this process, look, we got to see what's happening around us. Because in order to acknowledge it and acknowledge our need for God, we have to be able to see the condition of where we are. But then he says, I love Ezekiel's reply. When God says, you know, do you think these bones can come alive? Ezekiel says, God, you alone know. It's just you. You alone. You know what you can do. And you may not know how or when or what God will do in the middle of whatever it is that you're going through. But I can tell you this, God is more than capable of doing anything that you could ever dream up. Than you could ever imagine. What he may be waiting on is for you to truly admit, I can't do this. And I'm looking up to you for direction. And I need you to come alive. That may be the place where God wants you to get to this morning. And the cool thing is as he begins to come alive in us, in these difficult parts, in these parts that we kind of feel that are dead, do you know what that does then to us as a church? As God begins to bring to life the parts of us that we thought were dead or that could never change, he begins to give us stories to tell, stories that are all about his glory and just proclaiming the goodness of who he is. That's why he does what he does in our lives. It's not just for you. It's for the people around you. It's for his glory. It's so that people can see this is actually what it looks like for the hand of God to show up and move in a certain situation. He gives you a story to begin to tell. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited about the story that he's beginning and continuing to cultivate within our church. I don't know. Anybody with me? I don't know if you're excited about that or not. I love what God's doing. And, you know, we shared last Sunday, if you weren't here, that God's expanding our leadership. We're bringing on a new staff person, and we're excited about that because that's just going to increase our ability to reach out into the community and minister to people. And so super excited about that. I want you to be praying for Jimbo and his family and Melissa and their kids. They'll be joining with us in a few weeks, so really excited about that. We think as much as we're going to hate to lose Trent, we're excited about his next steps, but we feel we're getting close and moving in the right direction to finding someone to step in and be our next leader in that regard. And they'll be with us next Sunday. So I want to encourage you to be praying for them this week. Excited about that. God's preparing. I love what he says in Isaiah. He says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I believe this is true for us individually, but I believe God's bringing us into a season as a church with transition where he's getting ready to do something new and fresh as we turn the corner and head into the new year. I'm so excited about 2019. I don't know what God's going to do, But I believe he's got something big in store, and I want you to be a part of it. It's not just something that's about those of us who may stand on the stage or have a staff position or a title. It is about every single one of us being the church and letting God work in these seemingly dead parts of our life to bring us to life and hope in him. So we see this with Ezekiel. We're going to move on because we have to see past just this part of being able to see what's happening. We're going to read verses 4 through 14 and kind of get the culmination of all this. And so beginning of verse 4, it says, "Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man." So he begins to then teach Ezekiel what it is that he's just seen in this vision. He says, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up." Maybe this is you this morning. If you were to have a conversation with God, maybe you would just be saying, "My bones are dried up. My hope is lost, and I feel completely cut off." God says, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves. I will raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and I raise you from the graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you. And you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord." There's a whole lot of words that get spoken right here. And so not only do I think we have to see what's happening around us, but we have to remember that it's his words coming through us that begin to bring life. It's his words through us begin to kind of jumpstart this whole process of bringing life. We know how powerful words can be, right? When you stop and think about some of the words, if you're ever in a conversation with someone and you're just kind of chit-chatting and talking, and then all of a sudden in the middle of like talking about seemingly unimportant things, they give you the, "By the way," you ever had that happen before? And then it's like, I don't know about you, but I immediately, like everything starts running through my mind. I'm like, "Oh goodness, here we go. Like, what did I do? What am I not aware of? What are they about to say?" It's like you jump into this, "I did not see this coming. Why are you doing this to me? We were just talking about football and how Tennessee can't win." But it's like, now you're going to, "By the way," completely changes the dynamic of the conversation, doesn't it? I remember when I was teaching school back a long time ago, if one kid would raise their hand in class and ask if they could go to the restroom, it blew my mind how those words, "Can I go to the restroom?" How it's like everybody's bladders all of a sudden filled up. And it was like, I gotta go too. I was like, nobody had to go 5 minutes ago. What happened? The words. And they invoke thoughts. And even the way that we feel, it impacts us in a powerful way. Scripture talks about words in several different ways. In Proverbs, we read, it says that, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. In Ephesians, Paul challenging the church in Ephesus, he says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it." Jesus says, talking about the way that we speak and interact in situations with various people, in Matthew 10:20, he says, "For it is not you who will speak, but it's the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." And so Ezekiel gets this experience where God has given him words to say, and he's speaking these words, and through these words, things begin to happen. Things begin to move. And I think sometimes it's not so much that there is like this supernatural power that I can speak things into existence. I don't exactly think that's what it is. But what it is when you can begin to speak, when you can begin to articulate the heart of God in your words, it confirms things in your heart of what God is capable of doing. So when we pray, we speak the words of God in our prayers. Helps us to become more convinced of what God's capable of doing. When we have conversations with each other, we speak the truths of Scripture and how they've worked into our life. We speak those words. When you're struggling, when you're wondering if God's going to show up, you speak those words into yourself. You preach to yourself. I always believe that, I know you come here on Sunday and you get a sermon kind of preached to you, but I believe the best sermons you need to be preaching are the ones that you preach to yourself. Those have to be going on inside of us as we live, work, and play, as we go about our days. We've got to be taking the words of Jesus and speaking those into ourselves, because that's where life comes. We get so many voices and so many things speaking into us. It's no wonder so many of us just give up, right? Because we get this whole perception of how everything ought to be. And when it doesn't work out that way, that's all we hear then is failure. Don't measure up. Should have tried harder. All these things. It's no wonder we give up. But if we would just learn to look up, take his words and begin to speak those into our lives, speak those to the people around us, I think we would start to see God begin to come alive. And Ezekiel gets a snapshot of that here. He begins to speak over these and he starts to see the hand of God move. It's almost as if when we start speaking things, it's almost like it's a key that opens up a door that then begins to give God even greater room to move in our life. Because when we're trusting his words and we're believing those and we're speaking those, he shows up in the middle of that and then begins to give action. I think when you look at this, Ezekiel begins to speak, and what God is saying to him is he's saying, I will do this. He says that, then I will do this. Then I will do this. And he names off these three or four things that he says, I will, I will, I will. God's saying, I will do this. And then you will know that I am God. And I think for some of us here this morning, I think what he's inviting us into is for us to believe that he can do what he can do. To trust him in those harder areas of our life, to trust him and watch him start to do what only he can do. But here's the thing. When God starts to do what only he can do, just remember, he does the what so that you can better come to know the who. He does the what so you can better come to know the who. Because here's our temptation. God starts doing something that's just, never thought I could see this happen. God's moving here. We can very easily get so focused on the what God is doing that we miss the fact that it's God that's doing it. It's kind of like this, as parents, those of you in the room, parents, grandparents, we go through those days where it's like, I think my kids just think I'm a vending machine, right? It's like, they're coming up, they're asking for everything. It's like, can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? And it's like, all they're focused on is what? What? It's like, here's what I want from you today, Dad. Here's what I want. Here's what? And it gets exhausting, right? Can we just be honest? Maybe I'm the only one, right? It gets exhausting. Sometimes you're just like, I want to go sit in a closet and hide because I don't want to deal with your whats anymore. Like, I'm out. I'm done. I guess that's where you get to the point where you say money doesn't grow on trees, right? It comes up at some point along the way. But then you get those moments, right? In the midst of all that, you love your kids through it. You teach them through that. But then you get that moment where maybe you're sitting on the couch and they just come up and they just sit beside you. They don't say anything. They just kind of snuggle up beside you. They don't ask for anything. They're just there. And you know why they're there? It's not because of a what anymore. It's because of a who. Because of who you are. And that makes us feel good. It reminds us, okay, this is why I deal with the whats. Because I am a who to them. And they haven't forgotten that. And that warms our heart and makes us feel good. Where do you think that comes from? We could have a long conversation about where those feelings come from. I think because we're made in the image of God, that is a feeling God places inside of us that comes straight from him as our Heavenly Father. Because he wants nothing more than for us to not be so focused on the what, but for us to be focused on the who that he is. And that we nestle right up beside him. We look right up to him. And in that, he begins to breathe life into us that only he can do as our Heavenly Father. Or we just give up. We give up on God. We begin to let his words speak into us, remind us of who he is. And we kind of have to get to this place, though, as Ezekiel sees and as the people of Israel see here. We kind of have to get to this place where we're just willing to admit that we're dead. And that's a hard place to get to. Because I think before we can come alive, we first have to kind of get to this place where we just admit that we're dead. We can't get through this because I am dead. I'm powerless on the inside. And I think they get to this place. As he begins to unpack kind of what this vision's all about, he says, like, here's how they see themselves, basically. They see themselves as dead, as cut off, as hopeless. And maybe that's where you find yourself, or maybe you know somebody and that's where they found themselves. We have to get to this place where we feel as if there is no hope, where we bottom out. But it's then in the midst of that God begins to lift us up. He begins to resurrect us out. But you see, Christianity, there's this version of Christianity that we put out there that's like, everything's always got to be good. You got to have all the answers. You just need to get more information. If you just hear more preachers preach or you just become a nicer person, like, that's all that this is really about. Can I just say this? No, at the core of the gospel, of the hope that we have in Jesus, is the fact that you and I were dead. We were dead in our sins. We were lifeless. We were hopeless. We were consumed by the perspective of this world. But Jesus came and he showed up and he lived and he died and he resurrected so that you and I could then be filled with hope and be filled with life and be able to walk through this life victoriously. Anybody with me this morning? That's the heart of the gospel. The gospel is not that you would feel better about your day. The heart of the gospel is that you would come alive in Jesus and walk with him. Whether it's a good day or a bad day, you trust the one who holds all things together. That's the heart of the gospel. That's why we're the church. That's why we gather to celebrate and be reminded. But if we think that we've just got it all together, well, why do we even need God, right? But he gets us to these places where he shows us these dry bones and it magnifies our need for him. And don't run from that. Embrace that. Paul, speaking to the church in Colossae, says this in Colossians. He says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him," that being Jesus, "having forgiven all of us our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." Just give up this morning. Just give up. Begin to look up and let God come alive inside of you. That's his invitation. And we see as this passage ends out, God says through Ezekiel something at the very end of this. He says, "I'm going to do all these things." And he says, "I'm going to put my spirit inside of you." That's a pretty powerful thing when we see that. And I would say to you, God's spirit working in you is a good thing. I know if that's the first time you're maybe hearing that or you haven't heard that a lot, I get it. That's a weird thing too. Like, I'm with you. The God's spirit in me, that's a little strange. Because there's a part of us that would much rather in our flesh just say, okay, I can do God on Sunday and I can do me Monday through Saturday. That works. I can put it in a box. I can check it off. I can do it. But God loves you too much to let you drill down all that he has for you into an hour or hour and a half on a certain day of the week. What he's inviting you into is a relationship where he actually places his spirit inside of you as you trust him and surrender your life to him. And through that, he begins to work in you as you live, work, and play. He begins to guide you in everything that you do. That's a good thing to have God's Spirit with you. Jesus said to his disciples, they had him physically present. And then in John, he begins to teach them about the Holy Spirit. And he says, "I'll tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come." The Helper is the Holy Spirit. He says, "But if I go, I will send him to you." And then you skip on down a little bit and he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. And he says, "So when the Spirit comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come." You see, you and I, we have the presence of God inside of us. And thank goodness, God wants to teach all of us even as we leave from this place this morning. He may use this morning to kind of jumpstart and bring things to a greater awareness, but he places his spirit inside of us because he wants to keep unpacking these things as we go about our life. But we have to be willing to give up and then look up and see him and see who he is. And he says at the end of that text, then you will see what I have done. Place my spirit inside of you and you'll see what I've done. So this morning, I would just ask you again, what are your bones this morning that are dry? What relationship is it that you've just kind of given up on and said, I'm done with? What circumstance is it that you're wondering if God's going to show up in? And do you really want to see life come into that? I can't answer that for you. I know what God would like to do in you is he wants to work through your circumstances to draw you into a greater relationship with him. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but he wants you to trust him through that. But do you really want that? Where are you at as you think through that this morning? I'm just going to ask if you would just bow your heads just for a moment. The team's going to come up and prepare to lead us in one final song. And as they do that, I just want you to begin to just listen to what the Spirit of God that have talked about. What's he saying to your heart this morning? He's giving you a vision of dry bones, but also a vision of how he wants to put all that back together. You know, that begins by stepping into a relationship with him. And I just feel in my heart like there's probably maybe some of us here this morning. And I don't push for this every week. But I just feel like this morning that there's probably someone here this morning that's, you know, your next step is to just surrender and just to let go. God's been tugging at your heart. He's been pulling at that. But you've just not let go. You've not trusted him in a way that you step from death, being separated from him, into life, being in relationship with him. So the invitation for you this morning is just to respond to that. Just to let go of whatever it is that you're holding on to. Don't give up on God, but give up on yourself. Give up on trying to fix things yourself. And just look up to him this morning and say, all right, God, I'm ready. I've maybe been religious. I've maybe had a moment here or there throughout the history of my life, but I'm ready, God, to just trust you with everything that I have, and I'm giving it to you today. I'm stepping into relationship with you because that is all that I need. I need you, God, to resurrect me. I just wonder if that's you, if that's something that you're wrestling with this morning, could you just begin to have that conversation with God? Could you just begin to just to tell him what's on your heart? Don't hold back. Just have that conversation with him. Step from death to life. Tell him what's on your heart. And I wonder, would you be bold enough this morning, just in the presence of God? He's with us wherever we're at, but even in this moment, just to lift up your hand and say, you know what? I'm working through surrender this morning. I'm working through it. I'm working through it to give up control. There's one hand. Is there somebody else? There's another hand. Somebody else? There's another one. Somebody else? That God's just, you're giving up that control. Stepping into relationship with him in a way that you never have before. He wants to come alive in you this morning. If you raised your hand to that this morning, here's my challenge to you, is to keep opening up your heart to God and respond to him in this moment, but then respond to him in a public way through baptism, declaring that I'm letting go. I'm stepping into relationship with you in a way that I never have before, because I see death, but now I'm beginning to see life. And those of you that raised your hands, I'm praying over you. I would love to have a conversation with you and unpack that with you more about what that looks like in the scope of your journey. For those of you that are here this morning and you know that you're a follower of Jesus, you've had this death to life kind of season that you've went through. What is it still right now? Not that you need to be saved again, because you don't, but what is it right now that's maybe just grown a little cold, a little dry, a little dead inside of you that he's wanting to resurrect to life this morning? What is that? Just listen to his voice speaking to your heart this morning. Let him move you as we step into this moment of response and this time of singing one final song as you feel led. Father, we thank you that you resurrect, that you bring from defeat, from death, through your Holy Spirit, you bring victory. As we go through what we go through, it gives us a chance to know you more. So I pray, Father, in these moments that these things we hear you say to us, God, the words, if we choose to sing and declare these words, that they won't just be words because they're words that are on a screen, but they'll be cries of our heart. Truths that we're coming to believe. Speak into us, Father. Move us forward. We thank you. We love you, God. Lead us in these moments. Lead us as we leave from here. We want to be attentive. We want to be open. It's in your name we ask these things.